is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Well, hello everybody. This is Debbie Powell. I'm the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties. And I am going to be talking and chatting with one of our fairly new Master Gardeners, Tuolumne Master Gardeners, and that is Diane Miller. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Debbie. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk with you and chat with you. And the other day we had a lovely conversation about microgreens. And what started this conversation is you wrote a wonderful article that will be in the Union Democrat on microgreens. I have to ask you, how long have you been growing microgreens?
Oh, just recently, within the last few months.
So not a long period of time.
No, uh-uh.
And, but you've been a gardener for years, maybe not a master gardener for years because you just graduated, but how long have you been gardening?
For as long as I can remember. When I was a kid with my grandma, I was gardening.
Well, the reason I'm asking this, since you mentioned a very long time, I'm wondering if, since you only started growing microgreens last couple of months, according to the article, you said that just about anybody could grow it. But do you think anybody could grow microgreens?
I do. It was incredibly easy.
So what inspired you to do it?
You know, I was just browsing through the internet and I saw an ad for microgreens. And I now am just a container patio gardener. And so it seemed to me like a good idea and it looked easy. So I just read about it and started collecting what I thought the things were that I needed. Finally just said, okay, today's the day. And I followed the little notes that I had taken. Within a couple of days, I had these cute little seedlings popping up, and it was really gratifying.
Aww, little cute little seedlings are fun. Can you maybe, for people that may not be familiar with the term microgreens, what does that really mean?
Well, the microgreens really are seedlings that are like they're a few days older than like sprouts. It's after the cotyledon leaves or the first set of true leaves appear. And you can really use any container. I chose just a plexiglass tray that's about 2 inches deep. I mixed just moistened some soil and put it in it. And I sprinkled radish seeds all across the top of it. And then I put paper towels down on top of it and just sprayed it with a spray bottle. And the plexiglass was so nice because I could see the little roots emerge. And I had it sitting on my kitchen windowsill. So it was real easy to, you know, I saw it every day. I sprayed it every day. And within like 2 or 3 days, I took the paper towels off and there was like this blanket of little radish seeds. And I let them grow to be about, 3-4 inches tall. I bought new scissors so I could clip them because you just cut the tops off of them. And I had them in salads and I had them in sandwiches. And they were delicious and it was so easy. I didn't really have to do anything except keep them moist.
Diane, that sounds great, but let me go back to soil. What Is it important to have a certain type of soil? Or maybe I should just ask you, what soil did you use?
I had some, the coconut, I don't know how you say it, C-O-I-R.
Right.
And I had that because that was easy to get and easy to use. And then the second time I used some, just the Miracle-Gro potting soil.
So just normal potting soil.
Yeah.
It wasn't even special soil for seedlings. Mm-hmm. It was just normal
just
potting
regular,
soil.
Plain old that, potting soil.
That you would use maybe for any type of container plant.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just about an inch deep. And that was, you know, I just moistened it in the plexiglass container. I have read where people can just, you know, the styrofoam fast food containers, pretty much anything that'll hold soil, you can grow microgreens.
Well,
in.
Now going back to the soil though, we have the type of soil, so it's not very picky, but you just said that you only needed about an inch of soil?
Yeah. The plexiglass was about 2 inches deep, and I put an inch of soil in the plexiglass, and then I used the radish seeds, and I just covered the whole top of the soil like they were right next to each other, and kind of just tapped it down with my fingers, and then I put a paper towel on top, folded, because I thought that would help me know if it was staying moist.
Well, that's a good idea. If you had sprayed the soil too hard, like with a squirt bottle with a mister or something like that, that might have kind of moved the seeds around.
Yeah, it could have. So I could see when the paper towel was moist, and I misted it like twice a day, morning and night. It was like a day or two, and I could see the roots coming down through the plexiglass. It was so exciting. Another day or two after that, the little seedlings were popping up, and it was like just a whole carpet of seedlings.
How fun. That is really fun. Now, where in your house did you put this plexiglass tray? You probably didn't put it on a south-facing window. I mean, I've got a south-facing window, and that's a hot window.
Well, mine is shaded by the garage, and so it's a south, and well, kind of more east actually facing window, and it's about 75 degrees in the kitchen all the time. And I pick the kitchen window because I go in the kitchen to wash the dishes every day. And so there was access to water, and I had my little spray bottle right next to it, and I just sprayed it every morning and every night. And I was amazed at how easy it was. The things I've read, they say I like spicy, so that's why I picked radishes, but they also say arugula, mustard seed, things like that are like a spicy.
So you could add them to your salads, right? You could add it
on salads. I put it on sandwiches. And so it was like, gave me a crunch on every single meal.
How
it was
fun.
Perfect.
How mm-hmm. fun. Now you mentioned you've got some websites that you, when you were doing your research on it, was one of the websites Johnny Seeds? Was that it?
And so I went on Johnny's Seeds, and they actually have, like, they'll sell seeds in a packet, a 1 ounce container, so you can buy it in different volumes because you're not spreading it like along a furrow. You want to cover your whole surface of whatever container you have. And they have microgreen picks, you know, all these different herbs, because like maybe you like dill, So you could plant dill and you could clip all this little dill and you'd have a dill flavor in everything.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. So, and that brings up another point. When you do have these trays and you're putting the seeds on the soil, how do you put that on the soil? What's the easiest way to do it?
I just sprinkled it. The soil was blanketed with seeds.
With seed. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good idea.
And the radishes are like the little round seeds, so it was real easy to see them. Now, I haven't done, like carrots have really small little seeds, so I haven't tried that yet. But I could see the radish seeds, and so I used a lot of seeds, and that's why I bought the bigger volume of seeds to be able to, spread it across the whole container.
Right. Now, have you started multiple containers?
I started a second container just when I was getting down. Oh, I guess it was about 2 or 3 days before my first container was going to be empty, because I just clipped as I went. The second container, I got about halfway through and they were getting longer. And so I thought, well, I better cut. So I cut all of them and I put them in a salad spinner and washed them and then put them in a Tupperware in the refrigerator and then just used them from the refrigerator. Now I hear that you can just try to keep growing them again. I haven't tried that. I took the blanket then with all the roots and I gave that to my daughter's chickens and they had a treat. They got to eat all the little sprouted seeds.
Plants.
The
wow.
Roots.
Great idea.
So, and I would imagine you could put it in a compost pile, would be perfectly fine. And there are some companies too that I found reading around that I haven't tried it, but they have what they call seed blankets. And it looks like a little pillow of maybe some type of like paper towel cardboard, and there's seeds inside of it. And you just set that in your container and moisten it, and then you peel the top off. So it's, you don't have like, it's whatever they have the seeds setting in. So it just makes it even easier.
Right. That's a great idea. I've got another question for you. And so now that you've had some of these experiences, and they all sound great, by the way, I mean, I'm going to have to try it. The radish sounds perfect. Are you going to branch out? Are you going to try new seeds?
I have bought new seeds, and I was going to try different kinds. I was going to try mixing several different kinds together. And I was going to try some more. I was going to try to go into the spices that I like, because I thought, wouldn't it be nice to have basil and have a whole bunch of little, basil seedlings and put that on like a salad. Supposedly you can do like broccoli and cabbage and wheatgrass. I got sugar snap peas that I'm going to try.
But you're starting to make me hungry.
Endless.
They all sound good.
Yeah.
They do. And I love your idea regarding mixing them. And now, if you're thinking about mixing them in one tray, it will be kind of interesting to see if you pick seeds that all have the same germination rate, meaning they all start to emerge at the same time, or if
that's another thing that you'll have to see. And they're also really colorful, like if you get little beet ones there, you have all these little purple ones, and so it not only adds flavor, but it adds, it's visually appealing.
That would be fun to add a row of purple and then maybe a row of green and another mm-hmm. row of purple. That would just be fun. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, that really is. Now, Is there, let's see, there was something in your article I thought was really interesting. I know you mentioned about salads, but you also mentioned that you can add them to smoothies.
Yeah. I don't have smoothies, but everybody puts, spinach and this and that. It's like having your own little mini garden right in your kitchen all of the time. And it goes so fast. And if it doesn't turn out to be something that you like, you really haven't invested a lot of time or money. You just go, well, okay, I'll try a different seed next time.
Good ideas. And I love hearing about it. Diane, I hate to tell you, but we did run out of time. We'll have to have you come back, but I want to thank you for this fascinating conversation. So goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, everybody. This is Debbie Powell. I'm the Master Gardener Coordinator for Calaveras and Tuolumne County. And we are so fortunate we've got Sue Mosbacher back in with us. So welcome, Sue.
Thank you, Debbie. Hi, it's good to be back.
Hi, and I should mention that you're in charge of the Master Food Preserver Program for the four counties, and are you still involved with the statewide office for the Master Food Preservers?
I am. Okay. I'm 40% time at the statewide level.
Okay, which is wonderful, and you're also in charge of the Master Gardeners. So loads and loads of experiences and expertise. But today, one of the things that I had asked you is, we have our Master Gardeners, they're growing all kinds of food, and hopefully they have an abundance of food that they're growing. And it's kind of nice to be able to turn some of that into products that will, you know, extend the shelf life. And one of the ways they can do that is by canning or, you know, somehow preserving it. And I'd asked you one of the simple things that they could do, and you had mentioned it is probably making sauerkraut.
Yeah, it's the easiest thing in the world to do. It just has two ingredients, fresh cabbage and canning salt, and that's it. A lot of times people think that when you make your own sauerkraut that there's vinegar added, but there's not. It's just cabbage and canning salt, and not even that much. If you have about a good heavy 2-pound head of cabbage, it's 4 teaspoons of canning salt to make the brine or to get it to make its own brine. The magic just happens.
Oh my gosh. Now, when you say canning salt, I've kind of learned now after talking to you for, about different recipes. Are there differences in salt? Do they have to use canning salt? Could they use table salt? I mean, what's kind of the whole thing with salt?
So canning salt is the purest form of salt, and there's just salt, and it's been processed to get rid of iodine and any other minerals and so forth. Well, not minerals, but it's just pure salt. Because if you think of like pink Himalayan salt, it's pulled from an area where there's a lot of iron in the water, and so that's why the salt is pink. And so you want to start with as pure a form of salt as you can. A lot of times people will have kosher salt, and you need to make sure that the only ingredient is salt, because a lot of times I have found kosher salt boxes that have anti-caking agents in it, which is what you find in your table salt, because you want it to be able to pour out smoothly every time and no clumps. If you use table salt, then your brine will be cloudy and you're not going to get the pure salt that you want to have for fermenting. The other thing is, the recipes for making sauerkraut are assuming that you're using canning salt. So if you're going to use kosher salt, that's just salt. Flake salt is a lot lighter than the dense canning salt. And if you look at a jar, gosh, in some of the classes we do, we'll have a little jar with 4 ounces of canning salt and then another jar with 4 ounces of kosher salt. And it's over twice as much kosher salt to get that weight. And so if you just substitute 4 teaspoons of kosher salt for 4 teaspoons of canning salt, you're not going to have enough of the concentration of salt. So it won't have the same fermentation effect. So you need to make sure that you're either using canning salt, which you can just get in the salt section at the grocery store.
Oh, so the grocery stores have it.
Sometimes it's in the salt section. Sometimes it's in the canning section. Sometimes it's in both. Oh, gosh, we did an example in the class one time. We had a half a cup of canning salt was about a cup and a couple of tablespoons of kosher salt. And there's some sites online that say, here's the general substitution for canning and kosher salt. But you can get coarse kosher salt and flaky kosher salt. So best thing is to be able to get canning salt, and it doesn't expire. So you can just keep it for years if you're only using a little bit for making sauerkraut.
That's good to know. So with the next thing, you've got your cabbage, you've got your canning salt. And so do you just slice up the cabbage in thin slices?
Yep. You can do it by hand. You want to remove the core because that would be really chewy. So you remove the core and then you slice it into like, you know, a 16th of an inch. Or if you have a mandolin, you can use that. You want to try and get the slices as uniformly as possible. And then you put it in a big bowl. And what I like to do, because you want to mix the salt in it. So, you know, you have it in a bowl, you put, you know, some cabbage in there, sprinkle some of the salt, more cabbage, more salt, and then you massage it. When we do our classes, there are times where we'll have somebody from the audience come up and we give them, you know, gloves, we pull their hair back and we have them just massage it. It takes about, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And it's like magic in front of you because you've got salt and cabbage and then it makes its own brine. And as you just keep massaging it, the salt pulls the natural moisture from the cabbage and you get a brine and the volume decreases because it's now softer and more pliable. And you have this liquid and you can take a 2-pound head of cabbage and it will fill a large mixing bowl to start with. And you just keep massaging it and it just gets smaller and smaller. And you can pack all of that into a quart jar. Just pack it in nice and tightly and it covers it with a natural brine. And then you want to, we'll take the outer layers of the cabbage off and we use those as a little covering so that we can push down on those outer layers and keep all of the cabbage underneath the brine. And that's it. And then you just,
oh my gosh,
keep it under the brine. And I like to say that the first week as it starts to ferment, personally, I think it smells like dirty gym socks. And I tell people, do not throw it away. It's not bad. It's just fermenting. Because the next week, it smells better. And it takes about 3 weeks for it to ferment. If it's cold in your house, it'll take a little longer. I like to put it in a glass jar, especially when, you know, people are first starting to do this, because that way you can see the bubbles. And after about 3 weeks, it'll stop, you know, there won't be any moving bubbles. So the fermentation has stopped. And then you can start tasting it. And it's done when you like the flavor. And then you've got sauerkraut. And I remember we had a new volunteer training one time, and there's a woman named Gail, and she said, I hate sauerkraut. It's like, well, you still got to learn to make it. And you got to understand how. And it's like, but I'm not eating it. And so we were able to talk her into trying a little bit. And she went, oh, this isn't bad. Because it tastes very different than a lot of, you know, the canned sauerkraut you find in the grocery store, because a lot of times they will have vinegar and this has, it doesn't. You rinse it off before you use it.
I got to be honest with you, Sue. I'm not really a fan of sauerkraut, but
I'll make you some sauerkraut. Next time I see you, I'll bring it down for you.
Okay. But it tastes that much different.
It does. It tastes very fresh, very crisp. And so people like it because of the taste. And there's a lot of times in the grocery stores now, there's a lot more, they call it raw sauerkraut. So it's in the refrigerated section. And so it hasn't been canned. And so it tastes fresher because the canned stuff has obviously been heat processed. So it's going to change the texture and the taste. And a lot of people make it on their own too, because they want to have the natural microbes that are in there because it's good for your gut health, and they'll make it and then they just put it in the refrigerator to store it. And that way you still have the natural gut bacteria that you
get. Is it really a probiotic then?
I'm trying to remember the terminology. It goes along that lines, and I'm accurate. But one of the things is, you know, how are you going to use it when you're ready to serve it? One of my favorite dishes is I just saute some apple slices with some cinnamon, and then I throw on some sauerkraut with some caraway seeds, and I cook that, and I serve it with thin sliced pork chops. And so I'm cooking it, so any, you know, natural, you know, microbes on there, I'm going to destroy. And so then I'm just having the sauerkraut taste. And so when I make it, some of it goes in the refrigerator, and then some of it I can. And the stuff that I've canned, That's what I used in meals where I'm cooking. And then the stuff in the refrigerator is what I'll use for a Reuben sandwich. I have a recipe for a sauerkraut salad that I love. Sauerkraut with lots of diced red peppers and celery and carrots. And then it has a little vinaigrette sauce with a little bit of sugar and some more vinegar and spices. And it's delicious.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
It is. It's one of my favorites. Like I said, I'll can some of it and then I have the rest. It just sits in the refrigerator and I make, you know, one or two quarts at a time. So, you know, over a period of a couple months, I eat it all. And when I start to get low, I start to ferment another batch.
So going back to the two different things, one, you're preserving it, meaning you're cooking it, right? And then that's going to keep for a very long time. And then with the, when you've massaged the cabbage with the salt, you're just going to put it in jars and keep it in your refrigerator, right?
Good question. You massage it when you're first starting out and you put it in a jar and then you keep it at room temperature. And I usually will put it on a plate because as it ferments, what's happening is the cabbage has natural bacteria in it that will produce lactic acid. And so the sugars in the cabbage and the bacteria, they work with the salt brine, convert the sugars to this lactic acid, and that changes the acidity of it, and it changes the flavor and the taste and all that stuff. And so, like I said, it takes about 3 weeks. So you've got it in your container, and you leave it out on the counter. You want to cover it so, you know, bugs and flies and cat hair doesn't get in it. So you can put a towel over it. Just the room temperature, it starts to ferment. And then after it's done fermenting, that's when you'd either can it or put it in the refrigerator. Because when you put it in the refrigerator, it basically puts all the fermentation on hold.
Ah, okay. So once it's finished fermenting and you put it in the refrigerator, how long can you keep it there? How long will it stay good?
They recommend eating it within a couple of months for best quality. It's a very high acid product and there's a lot of acidity in there. So you're not going to have things growing as long as you keep it underneath the brine. So even in the refrigerator, you want to have that salt brine covering it. Because if it's just sitting up on top of your container, exposed to the air and the natural microbes and bacteria in the air, it could mold. So you keep it underneath the brine and all is fine.
Oh,
just make it in smaller batches.
Wow. Now you've got just an interesting amount of different recipes you can make with sauerkraut. And I've got to admit, I never would have thought of it. Not at all. I mean, I love your idea about the pork chops with the cinnamon apples and the sauerkraut. That I've got to try that. That just sounds so good. But I'm looking at what exactly is Amsterdam mashed potatoes?
So I sent you the list of things that I like to do with sauerkraut. So Amsterdam mashed potatoes, you take some sauerkraut and onions and you saute them, and then you chop them up into little pieces and you mix it in with your mashed potatoes. And it gives it a great flavor. It's really, you don't have long, you know, strings of sauerkraut. They're just chopped up and it just adds a burst of flavor to every bite.
Ooh, that sounds good. And then of course, I have to ask you about sauerkraut chocolate cupcakes. Is that good?
Oh, yes. And we usually, when we serve it to guests at our graduation for our new volunteers, we don't tell them what's in there. They're just chocolate cupcakes and they eat it and they love it. And then we tell them there's chopped up sauerkraut and they say, what? And so you chop up the sauerkraut, you can rinse it. So you remove any extra salt flavor. But when you chop it up and you put it in the cupcake mix, it has the texture of little pieces of coconut in there. But the flavor it adds is as if you had used buttermilk instead of regular milk for your dairy product. And so, because you've got that little bit of acidity, but it's wonderful and people cannot tell that there's sauerkraut. It's an awesome recipe. It tastes.
It just sounds really yummy.
But it's good.
Well, it does. But I mean, I'm thinking, who doesn't like chocolate cupcakes? And I'm thinking, well, as long as it doesn't, you know, it's. Hey, that's another one I've got to try.
Yeah. But for kids, it'll get a little extra fiber in their meals.
Oh, that's true. Good point. Very good point. Hey, Sue, we ran out of time, but I really want to thank you. This was just too much fun.
So, I always enjoy talking with you, Debbie.
Same here. So anyway, we'll talk again and goodbye.